He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear this week's message.
The Lord is in control. The Lord is in charge. I can't speak for Christians. I can only speak for American Christians. And it seems like, in my estimation, American Christians have forgotten that. You see, God has changed. Yes, He has. God has changed in the eyes of America. But you see, the reality of it is we still serve the same God that has been God yesterday, today, and forever. He's changed in the hearts of America from what I can see. He has changed because no one holds Him in high regard any longer. He has changed because even ministers, and I use that term loosely, in the church believe that He no longer heals. He no longer speaks to us. He no longer does the things that He has told us, promised us that He would do in days past. Those days are gone. They don't apply anymore. This is the 21st century. We don't need those things. We have doctors. We have money. We have things that will purchase whatever we need. We don't need God anymore. We are an affluent society. In a lot of ways, I'm beginning to loathe the word affluence. Because I believe it draws us away from God. Because of the affluence of our society, we don't need anything any longer. It's all provided for us by our jobs, by the government, by just the resources that we have available to us in America. I can't speak for Africa. I can't speak for Europe. I can't speak for South America. But I can speak for America and what I see on a daily basis. We have relied for so long on someone else to take care of us other than God. And in some cases, ourselves. You know, there was it's not such a popular saying now, but in the younger days, when 49% of America did not need support from the government, when people were still out knowing that if we work, that God will bless our work. God says that those who work by their hands and the sweat of their brow, He will bless that work. There was a saying, we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Remember that saying? Some of you old guys, did y'all ever hear that anymore? Have you ever heard that saying? Have y'all heard that saying before? Pull yourself up by your own? Isn't that sad? We are embarking on a new series that actually, it's not all that new. It's been going on for a couple of weeks. Sparked by conference that we went to, me and the David, the youth minister, and several of you who went to, spoken to us by this one man who does not believe God has any power any longer. You see, according to this man, there is no longer gift of healing. There is no longer gift of miraculous gifts. God can no longer speak to us. If you're being spoken to, it is being the words of a demon who is speaking to you. I'm real sorry to hear that. Because I don't believe I was called by a demon. God tells us that we will be called to Him. And He's not talking about the ministers, He's talking about the believers. You are going to be called to Him. If He doesn't speak to us any longer, how's He going to do the calling? How does that work? How's that look? According to this man, he said He only speaks to us through the Word of God. Now God speaks to us through the Word of God. But I have searched from Genesis to Revelation almost frantically, especially since he said that the other day, and I cannot find the name of Rick Hurtless in there anywhere. So He must speak to us in a different way. He must speak to His children in a different way than what that quote-unquote minister recognizes. This minister recognizes that God speaks to us in a powerful and a mighty way. He speaks to me verbally. Now, what exactly does that mean? I don't know. Does God come to me in my office on because I'm so great? I'm the great and mighty pastor after all. He must come to me every morning in a bright, shiny light. Speak to me audibly. Rick, this is what I want you to do today. No. It's not what He does. He speaks to me the same way that I know that He has spoken to many of you. And it is just as verbal to me as an audible voice would be. He speaks to me in that still, small voice that I recognize to be His voice and then act upon. And when He tells me to do something and I act upon it, I know that it was God. It was not some demon telling me how to grow the church of Jesus Christ. How much sense does that make? Some demon whispered in my ear telling us what we should do next to try to grow this church for Christ. It's silly. Silly to even think about, let alone preach. Does God speak to us anymore? Has God changed? Perhaps the better question is, has God changed in your heart? Have you lessened Him? Maybe because you've never seen a miraculous healing. Maybe because you've never heard God speak to you in that still small voice. Maybe because you have never seen anything, any of the power of God. Maybe because you're deaf, dumb, blind, and living in a closet and have never seen the trees and the sky. Even the mortar and the brick that built this building, even though it was formed by man-made hands, was still made by God. There is not one piece of this building that I could make myself out of nothing in my hand. The timbers that we see holding up the sanctuary, the screen, this pulpit, nothing is there that I could have possibly made. We formed together a few things, the miraculous power of God made them. But yet people still walk and say, I don't see the miraculous of God today. Are you living in a box? Do you not have your eyes open? Does God speak to us today, or is He now really silent? We got to figure it out all on our own. Brothers and sisters, that hurts me to think that I would have to figure anything out on my own. You know, for 16 years I was figuring stuff out on my own. 16 long, lonely, empty years squandering on nothing of importance, that I almost lost my family and my wife and everything that I was quote unquote working for, because I didn't hear the voice of God. I was working on my own. Is that what we are now limited to squander and walk around on our own? Oh, well, this must be right. No. No. It's not true. When you hear someone tell you that God does not speak to you any longer, run as fast as you can. They are not serving the same powerful God that I am serving. The sheep know the shepherd. John 10:1-6, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name. If there is no voice, why does he need to call? When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they're deaf, dumb, and blind? No, because they know his voice. You see, this word that was written was not only written for the apostles and the believers of the day, it was written for us for all eternity. Do you not know that the Word of God is eternal? It lasts forever. He's written it down on these pages to ensure that we would know it lasts eternity. It doesn't end at the last apostle's death. Who wrote that down? Whose idea was that? I see the miracles of the Lord happen every single day. Praise God, I am guided by His Word, and He says that the same things that you will do, greater than what Jesus did. And that blows people's mind. How can that possibly be? And so I listen to these professors who tell me that these things can no longer happen, because somehow they've dug it out. They're in their little theological thing, they've dug it out to make it fit exactly the way. They're putting God in a box. This, you know, I don't even know if their box is this big as this Bible is. They put God in a box and say, no, this is what it is. This is the only way it can work. My God is the same yesterday and today and forever. But they will never follow a stranger, as I continue to reading. In fact, they will run away from Him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this as a figure of speech, but they did not understand what He was telling them. John 5:24 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears My word and believes Him who sent Me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth. A time is coming and now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. As for the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given Him authority to judge because He is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, He says. Do not be amazed that people will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Hebrews 3:7, 3:15, 4:7, they all say, quote, today, if you hear His voice, unquote, three times in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear His voice, is that only for 2,000 years ago? Did that stop? We no longer hear the voice of God. It's over. It is said. It is done. The guidance that I have to do under my own self, the own guidance that I've got. Does that make sense? Why would God give us the eternal word and then cancel it out? Today, if you hear His voice, you see, this is the eternal word. And when He says today, He means today. The problem is people put God in a box and they say, well, that was for yesterday. Wait a minute. God is eternal. He is not bound by time. Time is only something for men. It's not for God. See, God actually doesn't even have a today. Only we have a today. God is telling us today, so He puts it in our language so it's something that we can understand. But the truth of the matter is, God is eternal. He lives in the past, the present, and the future. And because the great theological minds of the world cannot understand that, does that mean that that is null and void as well? Because God does not have a timepiece? Does that mean that it doesn't count any longer? God is eternal. He is an eternal being. Today, we can hear His voice. Number two, the sheep follow the shepherd. John 10, 7 through 13. Therefore, Jesus said, again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. And whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Well, why would we have to listen at all? Because He can't speak to us anymore. I am the gate, He says again. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have that to the full. The King James says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. The abundant life that God has given to us because we hear His voice. He said, the thief who is Satan has come to kill and steal and destroy, and he sends so-called ministers into your life to kill, to steal and destroy because they purport that the demons have more power than the Son of God. Hogwash. If somebody thinks I'm preaching like I'm a little angry this morning, I kind of am. I'm angry that someone would say such a thing about my loving Father who has given promises to us, eternal promises that someone else said are not valid any longer. As an earthly father, if you make promises to your kids when they're little, it's possible as earthly fathers, we may break those promises, but most of the fathers that I know will break their neck to make sure that promise, I don't care if it was a frivolous promise, you made the promise. You promised when you brought your kids into this life to take care of them. That's what you promised, men. Maybe you don't remember that, but you did. You promised to love that one who is beside you for eternity. Or until death do you part. Okay, until death do you part. But you will love them for an eternity also. If they are in Christ, they will be with you. And in that love, you have promised that you're going to take care of those that you love who are your children. Have you not? And as an earthly man, you are going to do every single thing you can do to hold that promise. How much more God for us to keep that promise that He has given to us. Just as He has promised the children of Israel, and those promises are valid and they will be fulfilled. He has made promises to us as those who believe in Jesus Christ, and those promises will be fulfilled today if you hear His voice. Listen. Number three, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. John 10:14-16. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Do you see the correlation there? Do you understand? Did you just let that one pass? It's got a little hyphen there. And so maybe you throw it out right after the hyphen. But it's what that really means is the same as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. You see, as believers, we have the same relationship that Jesus Christ has, because we are joint heirs to the kingdom. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are brothers with Christ. The same as what God has said for Jesus applies to us. And I lay down my life for the sheep, He says. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. There's other people other than this sheep pen right here. They too will listen, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. If there's nothing to listen for, why would we listen? God is going to speak to this flock of Meadowbrook and to other flocks of different churches, different flocks. The sheep follow the shepherd. The sheep know His voice. John 14:12 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. There's a danger in going to seminary. There's a danger in getting too much knowledge. There is a danger in getting so smart that you got God all figured out. You know exactly how He's going to work, how He's going to react. There is a severe danger. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. How many of y'all know that little children probably do not have a PhD? Most likely. There could be one out there, I don't know. But I know my little children don't have PhDs. They come to me all the time. But wait a minute now. Don't you mean the little children and the theologians? And they come unto me. Don't you mean all of those that are so smart that they have this figured out can come unto me? You see, the little children are going to come to God. And they don't know it's not supposed to happen anymore. They just believe what God said. Because you see, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that same Jesus that said that said, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. Powerful. Powerful words. My God has not changed. Has your God changed? Have you placed Him so low that He can't meet the budget of the church? Have you placed Him so low that He can't help you meet the finances that you are enduring? Have you placed Him so low that you can't survive without a job? Have you placed Him so low that that bad grade you got on that paper last week can't be raised up and be straightened out? Have you placed God so low on the rung that you're doing everything under your own power? And if that is what is happening today, that is why you feel the burden of oppression that is pushing you down and weighing on your shoulders and you can't carry it any longer. Because see, you're carrying the burden. Your God is so small, He can't do any of that stuff anymore. You got to carry the burden. And you know what happens? Pretty soon you carry the burden so far. You got to get down on your knees. He pushes you down on your knees. And maybe He pushes you flat on your face. As you learn to praise God in everything you're going through. And He'll lift you up. He'll give you strength. He'll show you that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said greater things that He has done, you will do. Say it. Greater things than Jesus has done, I will do. Say it. Greater things Jesus has done that I will do. Let that soak in for just a minute. Now, I'm not talking about testing God. I'm not talking about running out there frivolous. Oh, let's just, you know, snap our fingers. We're going to use God as our genie. No. I'm not talking about if you come to Christ, you're going to be rich beyond your greatest imagination. You're going to buy Lear jets and 3-story houses and mansions. No. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. You see, if that's what your mind is going to, your mind is not focused on Christ. It's focused on the things of this world. If that's where your mind is going, well, all I got to do is come to Christ and everything's going to be wonderful. All my money's going to be good. All of my relationships are going to be good. Everything is going to be wonderful. You're not focusing on the right thing. As you focus on God, focus on the Father's voice. Listen to what He has to say.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org, and there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas, 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and in fact with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you.
Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed.